I've been browsing. Treading water that they drowning. My head on a swivel, yeah. It's only really my surroundings.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello and welcome to episode 212 of the Smash Gazette podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. Valentine's Day is over now. We're on to our not-so-sloppy seconds. Those second-round picks, Snoog, are straight gold. We're going to talk about what you know who you're able to get in the second round this year. And then we're going to talk about some guys that are they worth a second-round pick. What should we be looking to do with some of these guys that have fallen out of grace? Snoog, this year's class, we keep talking about it. The second-round picks are going to just keep getting better and better. We talk about McCarthy maybe going to the first. Knicks might move up into the first. One or two of these running backs might move there. And you're going to find some absolute value, especially the early up to maybe 205 in this class.
Yeah, the 201 to 205 range is going to be gold, just like last year was. I'm really excited about it. And we're going to kind of help you guys figure out when to move the seconds, what to move them for, and kind of give you a little smash or pass action with current players versus second round rookie values. I tend to like to hold them until the draft day itself. Mm-hmm. Because you get the guys that don't have picks, right? And they're sitting at home looking at their phone while we're drafting rookies. And they're like, damn, I got rookie fever. I want to make a pick. And they'll give you their Davante Adams for the 203. And then There you go. You're stealing gold from a baby. So that's how you do it. And we're going to help you guys kind of figure out who is worth those seconds.
Yo, what kind of baby's got gold, man? That's awesome. You're stealing from like Kanye's kid? Like
candy from a baby, it's gold.
You're just straight taking gold. Make sure you guys listen to episode 211. We talked about all the veteran values that we absolutely love who are worth more than those second round picks. Guys that are, you know, elite, that are going to give you production. Today's episode, we want to really hone in on some of those guys where people are questioning, you know, are they worth a second round pick? What is the outlook for these particular players? Snoog, we're going to kind of go towards the early second. And I think the first guy I want to talk about, and I want to talk about the both wide receivers in this situation, right now at the 201 to 203 range and the 212, Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. So Terry McLaurin right now is going 201 to 203. Jahan Dotson is going in that 212 range. Are these guys worth it in your estimation? And what kind of outlook should we be looking for the Washington Commanders? Because Sam Howell's not going to be the quarterback this year. You know, they're not going to be in an area where it's Jacoby Brissett. One of these young quarterbacks is going to come in there, give them a shot in the arm. So let's say McLaurin or the 203 and then Dotson or the 212. Are you paying either of those for these wide receivers?
I think I would for both, because you get Drake May there, who's a prolific passer, just an absolute gunslinger. I have him comp to like a Jordan Love archetype. If he comes in there and they just build up that O-line just a little bit, I mean, you have the number one and number two options in the passing game that you're getting for the 203 and 212. I kind of like the 212 on Dotson a little bit better. I mean, he was a first-round pick, so He was like pick 15 or 16 too, so I think Jahan Dotson is a good, talented player, and I think he had a down year last year. I mean, like, who did good on the Commanders last year? Like, I swear Sam Howell threw all these passing yards to who? Like, he had 1,000 passing yards, and I swear nobody did good on the team. So it's kind of crazy to say, but I think Terry McLaurin is valued right at, like, that 203, 204-ish range. I think it's who's there when I'm on the clock. Like, I'd take a Xavier Worthy or like Adonai Mitchell if they go in round one or round two early and they're in a good landing spot over a guy like that. Like,
and this is what you and I talk about, is like, it doesn't have to be this or that. So you would, just like we talked about before, where you don't want Geno Smith, so you're going to move up to Matthew Stafford. If you don't want Terry McLaurin, you move up to Davante Adams. You know, you move up to Mike Evans. But I think Terry McLaurin, we got to see, You know, he has anyone had worse quarterback play? I mean, obviously Garrett Wilson has, but Terry McLaurin has seen a ton of quarterbacks. None of them have with competence. And when Jacoby Brissett took over last year, he actually was balling out. Like, he was putting up some really nice numbers down the stretch. Terry McLaurin is that guy who's like, he's a wide receiver two for you. And if you can get him anything from, I would say anything 205 or later, I would smash that. Anything after 212 for Jahan Dotson, I would take that as well. Jahan Dotson is falling drastically in startup drafts into that like 13th round. You get into an area, Snoog, where a guy has a promising rookie year, and then you're like, okay, then he falls apart year two. How do you go about talking to people, letting them know, you know what, trust the process, this is what's going to happen, he had a great rookie year, but Washington threw the ball more than anybody, so he should have, in theory, had a great season.
The way I look at it is like these type of prospects, the Rashad Batemans, the Treylon Burks, the Jahan Dotsons, like usually what's holding them back is QB play or injuries. It's been QB play for Dotson. It's been QB play and injuries for Burks. It's been injuries for Rashad Bateman. More times likely than not that they're going to end up being busts when they start off with two horrible seasons like that, like not even startable. But it's always like you want to pick at that upside because there is third and fourth year breakouts in wide receivers, especially when they get a big boost in QB play or they can stay healthy. Drake May coming to the Commanders, like things could get interesting for Jahan Dotson. Analytics and statistics point towards him being a bust, but if anyone's going to save that, it is elite QB play. So if Drake May can come in and be a prolific passer at the next level, a gunslinger, high volume upside in that passing game with a new head coach there, like things could get interesting there for them. So I'm kind of excited to, I think I'd be more interested in giving like an early third, maybe like a mid third and a fourth for Dotson than paying an early second for Terry. I think that's more where I'm at, but like, I don't know, Treylon Burks, Dotson, two first round wideouts, good prospects. Like they were really solid prospects, like elite hands. Dotson's a good route runner. He looked great in his rookie year. Yeah. And it's like out of nowhere, he just sucked. It's
the
like,
tricky part is when it doesn't happen, and I got to credit our guy Dynasty Zoltan, you and I both love him. He charted since 2015, there's been 130 wide receivers to run 150 plus routes, okay? Of that, or in that time, okay, over the combined 371 seasons across those guys that have had less than 1 yard per route run and have combined for only six seasons of 1.9, honestly, the guys that are, have done that are don't do anything from there on out, you know, and the guys that we're looking at, and this is where we really got to talk about separating those guys because Dotson's one of them. But we look at other years. I mean, let's look at guys that were, we look at second round picks, right? Mm-hmm. And this past year, 2022 or 2023, Snoog, we were spoiled. I mean, we had an amazing hit rate, but historically, we're looking more in that, 25 to 30% if we're lucky on the second round picks. These guys are the ones we really got to talk about, right? The guys in 2023 that didn't cross that threshold that we're talking about for that 1.9 yards per route run. And Zoltan, if I mess it up, you come out and yell at me. But the Quentin Johnstons of the world, right? Ran a crazy amount of snaps, didn't get it done. The Sky Moores, Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson, Rondale Moore, Jalin Hyatt. What do we do with these guys? Like, these are the guys that I think we saw the tape, we saw the flash. The guys that stick out to me most were Jahan Dotson, Treylon Burks, and Quentin Johnston. Yeah. I think all three of those, we saw the prospects. We saw, especially Treylon Burks. I mean, Treylon Burks, before the combine and before everything really started to hash out, he was arguably the 101 in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, like consensus wide receiver one for a lot.
Yeah. And even above Breece Hall at certain points in the actual college football season, people are like, this is the guy, right? You saw a lot of like, we wanted him to be A.J. Brown because he went to Tennessee. So, I mean, I'm not paying a second for any of them, but if I have the 301, would you buy Quentin Johnston, Treylon Burks, or Jahan Dotson for the 301?
I would buy all of them for the 301. I think maybe not. I don't know, because it's like it depends on the league. Sometimes you get like I drafted Trey McBride in the 302 spot 2 years ago in that draft, and I drafted Jaden Reed 301 in this past draft in a league. So it's like I get guys that I really liked as prospects that fall to me, And then there's the David Bells, who was a guy I was really high on as a prospect. He was like my wide receiver 8 in that class or 7. And I was drafting him everywhere in like that late second, early third range. And like, he's dust now, right? So it's like, what do you do with those guys? History usually tells you that they're going to suck, right? But Quentin Johnson, all right, he had a bad rookie year. Now it's that year 2 or year 3 breakout. He's got the elite QB play. He's got new coaching staff. There's no excuses for him now, right? The issue with him, we all knew he was going to be a little bit of a project. If he hit his ceiling, the ceiling was crazy. And he almost had a really good rookie year, but he dropped everything. He dropped probably 3 50-plus yard touchdown passes. I went to the Pats Chargers game. I watched him drop 2 passes of like 30-plus yards. This is a guy that if he catches all those or maybe just drops 1 or 2 like normal wideouts, he comes down with 750-plus yards and maybe 5 6 touchdowns. And it's like this promise, like he's going to be good next year. Like his value doesn't take a hit like it did. So it's tough with those type of receivers, but sometimes they just suck and they can't translate to the next level.
Yeah.
I like to believe it's QB play and injury, but man, I don't even think he had 1+ yard per route run this year. So
no, that's what we're, I mean, you look at, for every guy that pans out into that area, you look at all the N'Keal Harrys, the Doriel Green Beckhams, the guys that we wanted to like, you know, where they were like, oh man, look what they did in college. And then they get there and you're like, okay, year one wasn't promising. Let's move on to year two. And the more I do that, the more I'm like, if I didn't see the flashes, I'm starting to move. I would buy for the 301. I have no problem with that. Cause you look at last year's third round. You got me, Tank Dell went in the third round, Chase Brown, Luke Musgrave. Heck, I mean, in some leagues, Puka Nacua was going in that area. You were getting some decent players in that third round. But for every one of those guys, you have your Zach Evans and your Abanacondas and Cedric Tillmans and Eric Grays and Deuce Vaughn. So it's like third rounders, the hit rate, maybe 8%, 12% max is about what you're going to get. So at least here you're getting a guy where if you trade for those guys, a guy that was drafted round one, most times in that third round, you're not going to get a wide receiver who was drafted in round one. It doesn't have that draft capital. I really want to believe that Treylon Burks is going to pan out. I really do. But I think right now you're going to get a third round pick for him. So you might as well hold on to him. Like people are saying, hey, what do I do with him? You can't trade him if you trade him for the 305 and he pops off, what are you going to do? You know, if you use him to upgrade, let's say you add Treylon Burks in a second to get to, oh gosh, it seems dirty. But like two, we just talked about Terry McLaurin or Mike Evans or even Josh Downs or something like that. Are those moves that you would consider making, or are you just kind of holding that guy, riding him out till the cows come home?
I'm trying to find that person that still believes in him and trying to get as most value as I can. Otherwise, I'm holding. A guy that I really want to hit the head on is Rashad Bateman. Like, this is a guy that considered as elite of a prospect as you can get. Fell a little bit in the draft, went to the Ravens in a run-heavy offensive scheme, got lost in the sauce. Flashed like crazy last year and then hurt his foot after a great start with Lamar. He flashed some elite route running and some playmaking from time to time this year. It's almost like, did the Ravens fail him, or are they just not utilizing him how he needs to be used? I wasn't high on him like everyone was. And then I talked myself into him like crazy last year. And then now I look at it like how good really is he? Like, is he really that good? Or like, were people just gaslighting him just because of like the prospect he was analytically? And it's like, it's tough to say, but like, that's someone that I'd be willing to give up like a third for, is like a Rashad Bateman. Like someone that had insane value, fell a bit because injury, got lost in the sauce because they draft Zay. Like, he's a guy I could see going to a new team, finding a new home and reviving his career.
Kind of like doing a Corey Davis type thing where it was like, okay, you were the prospect, and then he had a nice season in there where he moved on to somewhere else. And I think the part that you hit on there that was key was an injury or a change in situation, right? But you look at Quentin Johnson, Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson, they had opportunity. So the opportunity didn't disappear. They were healthy as well. So that's the tricky part there, right? Is like, we're looking at the opportunity was there. Rashad Bateman might be a better buy than all those other three because of that. Who would you prefer out of those four?
I think I'd probably take Rashad Bateman.
It's tricky. I didn't think about that before we were just talking right there, like, to be honest. And I mean, all of them are falling to that round 14, 15. And sometimes those guys you look at, like an Elijah, you know, those guys that flash a little bit fall to the 14th round. The Treylon Burks, the, you know, Elijah Moore, who we wanted to pop off, the Rashad Bateman, the, you know, guys that just you're not quite sure what to do with and what happens there. What about a guy like Marvin Mims? We saw Marvin Mims this past year. I know you liked him a lot in the process, as did I coming out. And then this year, you know, he goes to Denver. He shows some deep play ability. If somebody leaves, if they get a different quarterback in there, I mean, does Marvin Mims have the juice to be worth more than that 301? Could he be worth someone that's worth a second?
Yeah, he was. I think he was my wide receiver 6 during the post draft process, but I fell out of love with him. Like, after he had his first few like flashes, I sold him like every league because in my head I'm like, all right, Russ is probably gone long term. He's buried in this wide receiver room. I just didn't see the fit and the skill set long term with him being elite, but I think the prospect is good. He's a really good vertical threat, but that's kind of really all he is. And I learned to like realize that he's kind of more of that like deep threat, like not gonna be an elite route runner, consistently getting open, consistently commanding targets. So he's someone I was in love with, fell out of love with. And I started to kind of focus more on like the Tank Dells, Jaden Reeds, and Dontavian Wicks was a guy that I really liked a lot until he went 5th round in the NFL draft because he ran a damn 4.67 40. But Marvin Mims was just a clean prospect, early declare, checked every box, good analytically, good downfield, like played good regardless of the QB at Oklahoma. So you can't go wrong with him. I definitely probably prefer him over like the Elijah Moores, the Treylon Burkses, the Dotsons, just because he was a second round pick, buried behind Sutton and Judy, had his flashes. He didn't play much though, so there's definitely still upside there.
Denver's talking about
Russ now, but
Denver's talking about really trying to move up for one of these quarterbacks. Drake May goes to Denver. He seems like a Denver kind of guy, you know, where I think they get him an opportunity. I would be willing to pay the 212, but I wouldn't go too much higher. You know, like I think in the second round, if they don't flash, we got to move ourselves into that area. I want to talk about some other guys. Why? And it's typically wide receivers, right? Running backs, we see it right away. You either have it or you don't. You're going to see that opportunity, you know, year one. Some guys that I think really are people worried about is Jameson Williams and Jerry Jeudy. Both of them, elite profiles coming in from Alabama, right? Both of them have just been so underproducing. Jameson Williams is on that injury end that we've seen. Jerry Jeudy's suffered from poor quarterback play, but
and injury end, yeah.
And injury. So, I mean, these guys both have a different level ceiling than the guys that we've been talking about. If you're at that 210 in your rookie draft, would you give an opportunity for these two guys? Would you give the – what about 208?
I would.
205?
That's drawing the line.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, I think that's right in that area. But they're falling in startup drafts. You're going to be able to buy them cheap. If you had to choose between Jerry Jeudy, 24 years old, Jameson Williams, 22 years old, which one are you taking?
I'd lean JMO just because of the upside, but I mean, Jerry Judy's still an elite route runner. He's still a good player. I think he just needs a revive somewhere else. Like, I think he never lived up to his expectations after a phenomenal end stretch of 2 years ago. He gave us promise, right? We're like, all right, now it's time for him to get rolling. Like, him and Russ started figuring it out. Just shy of 1,000 yards, missed 4 games. Like, he had a really, really, really solid flashing in that year, and then just a complete disappointment this year.
Yeah, and it's really dropped his stock. I mean, right now on Keep Trade Cut, if you take a look, and I want you to keep one, trade one, cut one. Their values are almost identical, believe it or not. Is Jameson Williams, Jerry Jeudy, and Dontavian Wicks?
Oh wow, this is tough. I think I'm going to keep Dontavian Wicks. I really do. I think the upside there and how well he flashed, even though he was a 5th round pick in his rookie year, was just great. Like, he was really good. I think he's
Is Green Bay a situation where we're going to be frustrated with who produces each week. Because let's say, I mean, we got to look at Christian Watson will be back this year. And when he played, he demanded much more targets. Wicks was in there. Reed was in there. Dobbs was in there. And you just kind of look at it, and Reed is the slight edge. But I think there's going to be weeks where it's like you see Wicks balled out. I mean, he really did down there, down the stretch. So it's like, I'm not faulting you there at all. I'm just like, I want to know who that number two is there. Is Reed the alpha? Is Christian Watson going to bounce back, who I know you absolutely hate?
Yeah.
Or Romeo Dobbs had a good season as well? I mean, or is this just like, let's rotate it a little bit?
It probably is a little bit of everything, but I think one and two is definitely going to be Reed and Wicks. Assuming they don't bring somebody else in going into next year, that's what I think it's going to be. I think Wicks is – they're both really good at opposite things, which is good that they complement each other well. And I think there's so much development for Dontavian Wicks. He's an athletic route runner. He's good off the line. He's great at pass blocking and run blocking. Like, those are huge for those wideouts that put in the effort, and they're always in there getting dirty, running or blocking for their running backs. He's physical, and he was really good. His last four games, I mean, he had like 15, 10, 24, 10. He started to really get the ball rolling for him. He missed two games and had 550, 80 plus yards or something like that. Like, he probably was going to sniff 650, 700 yards, which is good for a fifth round rookie pick, right? Like,
absolutely.
He's fifth round, other than Puka, and then Amon-Ra St. Brown was a fourth rounder. It's like, they're nothing. They're usually never nothing. And it's like, Wicks probably was a day two guy if he ran like a 4.5, like everyone expected. Because he excels downfield as a vertical threat too. So I just think the passing volume with Love there being a consistent 4,000-yard passer, a good scheme, good offensive-minded head coach. I just think Wicks' upside's really high. But Jameson Williams, I think if he can cement into that wide receiver two role, although there is a lot of mouths to feed, he's such a
– right, that's the tricky part, right? When we had him coming out, my biggest thing for Jameson Williams was – he's going to be great for the Lions, but he's not going to be great for fantasy, right? Like, he opens things up. At best, he's fourth in targets on that team. At best. Like, I see zero scenario where he gets more targets than Gibbs, LaPorta, or Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, so like, that's the tricky part. I think you're going to get
touchdowns.
You're going to get a Will Fuller type, you know, you're going to have some games where he puts up 90 yards and two touchdowns. And then you're going to have the next week where he puts two catches for 36 yards and you're going to hate it, you know? And that's where I'm thinking, and I'm believing in Judy going somewhere else is my keep out of those three, but I can see him also probably having the least value out of the three right now, you know? Yeah. So I'm low key buying in on Jerry Judy just because he's still 24 years old.
Bought him for 26 seconds. And
that's I think if you look at his yards of separation per route run, it's always top five every single season. So, I mean, like, it's got to be – he's getting open. Get him the ball. You know what I mean?
I'm in Kansas City, just in that like, Rashee White type role. It's just like
– so Kansas City's where everybody wants some of these guys to go. I saw Hollywood Brown tweet out today something about, you know, he would love to play with Patrick Mahomes, you know. So Hollywood Brown is an interesting one. He has gone from in the offseason where everybody was buying him and he was – going for the 112. Now he's going for the 212.
He's someone I would buy. He's going to take over all these guys we've talked about.
100%. 100%. Right now in keep trade cut, he's behind Jahan Dotson. He's behind, you know, Jameson Williams. He is way down here. I mean, his value is as the wide receiver 43. That does not add up to me. Marquise Brown is a first round pick. He's flashed as a, you know, he's shown that he can be a wide receiver one with Kyler Murray. When he was there, I think he ultimately goes somewhere else, and I think he's going to be good for fantasy. You know, his early part of his career, Lamar Jackson didn't really unlock him the way we wanted him to. Kyler did for a little bit. This year he was banged up, and I think he's a great buy for something in that 208 or later range, I think is an absolute steal for Hollywood Brown.
What are you doing with Christian Kirk? He's someone that absolutely disappointed this year. I mean, he was like the wide receiver 50, had 150 fantasy points. And just
I'm still buying.
Miss five games.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think in 2022 he was a back end. I think he finished wide receiver 12 or wide receiver 13. Okay, so he was a back end wide receiver one. Then they go and get Calvin Ridley. I think Calvin Ridley leaves this year, and I think they draft an upside wide receiver. But I think Christian Kirk is that security blanket for Trevor Lawrence again, who could be wide receiver.
Thomas there.
Yeah, me too. But I think
compliment with Kirk.
Kirk could be a nice wide receiver too this season. And right now he's going for the 206. Yeah. I prefer Christian Kirk over the 206 right now.
Yeah, I mean 12.5 fantasy points per game on pace for 212 points for the year. I mean, it's strong flex play, and we know what his ceiling is, like wide receiver 11. We've seen that. We've also seen his floor being like that strong wide receiver 3 upside flex play. So I think with Ridley leaving and then bringing in a rookie receiver, granted that rookie receiver doesn't have a crazy, crazy first year, there's a good chance Christian Kirk, again, it's tough with the Evan Engram kind of revival because they're both dominating that slot receiver spot. So I think it stinks for Christian Kirk a little bit. So I'm not high on Kirk personally, but I can see why people are. What they need, like, I think they're going to get a true alpha X wideout to dominate that outside, like a Brian Thomas or a Mike Evans out of free agency.
Whoever it is going to be, going to have some serious value. Sticking with Christians though, man, let's talk about Christian Watson. And I wasn't going to turn this into a religious type podcast, but you know, last year I remember I distinctly putting out a tweet that says, 8 wide receivers have finished their rookie season with 2.25 yards per route run since 2006. 5 of them finished inside the top 12 the next year. And that was an Olave and Christian Watson tweet because both of those guys did that in 2022. Christian Watson has shown flashes, right? I know he's someone that you and I have, you know, taken different sides on, but I'm having a hard time investing right now. Like I had opportunities where I was like, okay, should I take Christian Watson here at the 12th round, at the 11th round? And I just kept finding excuses to not draft him. But then I started looking a little bit, you know, he was banged up. You know, he missed weeks 1 through 3. Week 4, he only played 46% of the snaps, really started to, you know, weeks 7, 8, 9, 10, really bad. Week 12 and 13, he finished inside as a wide receiver 1 on both of them. The only two that he got over 8 targets the entire season. So is this a situation where Christian Watson wasn't performing because he didn't get a lot of opportunities? He's coming back from the injury. Mm-hmm. You know, or is he a value right now? I've seen him go for the 212. And I think based off the draft capital, based off the upside, someone in Green Bay is going to pan out. That's for sure. But I'm out. I think this is a situation where I take Christian Watson and I pair him with a second to get a wide receiver I want.
Yeah, he is such an incredible athlete. He's just such a raw player. I mean, he scored 5 touchdowns in 9 games, 101 fantasy points, missed a lot of time due to injury. And I think that's becoming a reoccurring thing with him, right? You can't be 6'4", 200 pounds and run a 4.3 40 and stay healthy unless you're like an A.J. Green, Julio Jones type generational wide receiver, and he's just not.
Let's play a little Watson or the other guy. So this is keep trade cut right now, has him all the way up a wide receiver above Christian Kirk. So we'll go Christian wow. Watson over Cooper Kupp right now. That was not even close. How about Josh Downs?
Downs.
Godwin.
Keenan.
Dobbs.
I don't know.
Probably
Dobbs. Deontay.
Ridley. Hollywood.
I'm low on Christian Watson.
Hollywood. Right? So, like, I mean, he is falling. He's going. If you can get him in some of your leagues, if you can trade him for those guys, I would absolutely do that because in my mind, he kind of belongs more in that other area, you know, that's kind of a little bit more tricky. Someone that's flashed a lot that I know a lot of people – really like, who I'm not, you know, I have 0 shares of him and I'm perfectly fine with that, is Demario Douglas. People have been, I've seen, been trading for 25 seconds for Demario Douglas and saying he's the best wide receiver in New England, you know, and that's like, you know, nope, not something I'm interested in. You know, like that's someone where they are going to draft someone else. They're going to bring someone else. They have tons of capital. They're not going to, they're either going to trade for a quarterback or they're going to invest in a quarterback. And they're going to try to bring in a wide receiver. And I think Douglas is someone that is like a poor man's Josh Downs at best. Yeah. Where people, I cannot see paying a 25 second or anything in that second round range for
he's,
him.
He's a good playmaker. He's like a good number three to have on an offense. I don't see a scenario they go into the season with just him. But if if the Pats somehow landed like Drake May, drafted like a Ladd McConkey or like a Adonai Mitchell in that round two spot, and then they paired him with Douglas, maybe Douglas could see 100-plus target season just because he's so good in that short area. He'd make it easy on the quarterback. If I can get a second, any second, I'm taking the second. But like a third, I'd probably hold them.
Yeah, I'd smash for a second. The other guy that falls into that category, and he had a decent rookie season, is Michael Wilson. Everybody's like, hey, I'm buying Michael Wilson now. Okay, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Neighbors is coming in. Trey McBride is the number two. And they have plenty of money under the cap where I could see them bringing in someone else. Michael Wilson doesn't seem like a guy to me that is a sound investment for a second round rookie pick.
I'd sell him, yeah.
You know, like right now in Keep Trade Cut, he's ranked above DeAndre Hopkins, above Wandale Robinson, above, you know, some guys that I personally, I agree. I think that's a savvy buy in that area. Even above, you know, I know Mike Williams is 29 years old, but he'll be coming back. Rashid Shaheed is someone that I think is a solid guy in that area. Like, I think sometimes we get excited and we want to just buy someone because they showed a little bit of flash, because we talk about it with insulated trades all the time. We're trying to assess that next guy. But if you're trading and trying to assess for a Demario Douglas or a Michael Wilson, I don't think that's how you actually pan out and win some of these kind of moves.
Yeah, absolutely. I would throw guys like Jalen Hyatt, Wandale Robinson, thinking just Sky Moores, like those type of guys. I think the best options buying those type of guys are the ones that struggled because of QB play, not the ones that struggled because of their talent. Like Sky Moore struggles because he's just not good at football. Wandale Robinson and Jalen Hyatt probably struggled because they had Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito throwing the football to them. So that's another assessment that I like to look at, is like, who was their quarterback? Who are they throwing the football to? Who was their offensive coordinator? Like, were they in just a disaster or what? Like, Elijah Moore, like, what's his excuse? I mean,
there's none anymore. He had a nice little flash. Exactly. He had a nice little flash with the Jets, disappeared. I'm out on him completely. Let's look at the tight end position, because, you know, there was a time where we could just say, you know what, I'm going to buy a veteran for a 24 second. I'm going to buy a veteran tight end. I'm going to work that way. And yes, I would absolutely, if you can get, you know, David Njoku, you can get Evan Engram, Cole Kmet, I'm buying them for seconds all day. Jake Ferguson, I think that's okay. You know, then we start to look at some of these guys that were rookies this year. So I want to look at Michael Mayer, Luke Musgrave, and Taylor Kraft. So, Tucker Kraft versus Luke Musgrave is an interesting one for me, because I feel like people are one side or the other, but much like the other Green Bay situation, I mean, is this someone where when we had Musgrave, he had a couple tight end 1 weeks, and then you saw what Kraft did when Musgrave went down, and he had multiple tight end weeks. So, like, where do you rank these guys? Like, for me, there's so many mouths to feed in Green Bay, I struggle with it.
I think Musgrave was the better prospect. I think Kraft is the better player.
So I mean, Kraft, from when Musgrave went out, tight end, you know, he was up over 10 points almost every single week. He had a tight end six. He was always falling in that tight end two range, six targets per game, you know, and I thought he definitely showed some flashes. Musgrave definitely was the better prospect coming out, but he had some monster weeks early on in the season.
Yeah, Musgrave's definitely a better prospect, much better athlete, like I said, but I think it depends who's healthy between them. I mean, they drafted both of them day two. Musgrave was drafted in the second round. Musgrave's a crazy good athlete. The upside's definitely there for Musgrave, but I think Kraft is just the more sound, better player, and will be like, I think Green Bay legitimately crushed their day two of last year. Like,
oh yeah,
they got Reed, they got Wicks in day three, they got Kraft and Musgrave. Like,
would you pay a second for either of them though?
But they're very sound players.
I'm with you. Would you pay a second for either of them?
I don't think I would. I'd rather second and get like a Mayer.
Well, so Mayer for me right now is a screaming buy at the tight end position, because he was up there, you know, right in that same conversation with Kincaid and Laporta at, you know, in the Most people had him as their tight end one before Buffalo took Kincaid, you know, and before LaPorta went where he went. So I think if I'm buying a second round pick, I would much rather have, you know, rather pay an early second for Mayer than I would to buy either of those guys right now.
Yeah, same. I would definitely much rather. Ferguson, Musgrave, or Andrews?
Yeah, Nick's asking a question here. Who does he move? So this is
hold them all.
Is hold them all? I personally would move Ferguson, you know, because of the tight end
mid to early second form.
You're going to get the tight end regression there. I think, you know, he scored what, 13 touchdowns? Like he was double digit touchdowns. Andrews is a buy. I think Mark Andrews is too cheap right now. Some people have moved him down to their dynasty, you know, tight end four range, and I think he's definitely there. Musgrave, you're not going to get very much. So good question, Nick. Love those questions where you guys, you know, chime in there. Snook, if we're looking at the rest of that tight end market, I mean, are you willing to, let's take a look at some of the other tight ends that go in that area. Isaiah Likely, Pat Freiermuth, and Cade Otton, I've actually seen go for seconds. Would you pay a second for any of them right now?
I think I would for Pat Fry. I wouldn't pay a second for the other two.
Correct. I would pay it. Freiermuth, like we talked about with Deontay Johnson and Pickens, they're going to get a quarterback upgrade. Freiermuth has been a back end tight end one or an early tight end two. Isaiah Likely, you're almost playing like a handcuff game. You know, like people are thinking he's going to eat into Mark Andrews. I don't see it. I just see this as a scenario where he's great if he goes down, but otherwise, I'm not touching him.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So we just wanted to bring you guys some of these second rounders, some of these guys that, you know, it gets a little bit dicey. You're trying to figure out, should I trust this guy in Dynasty? Is this someone that, you know, is it time to move on? And it becomes a very difficult scenario of when to make that decision, you know, because you've invested, especially if you draft a guy at the 205 and you're like, oh, I love this guy. You're like, I drafted him, or he's someone that throughout the process, I really enjoyed his tape and I wanted to make sure that he was someone that I kept on my team. And you end up holding them way too long. Like, Snook, when's that proper time? Like, if someone didn't pan out from last year's second rounder, let's say you took a guy in the second, he did not pan out, when do you start to look to move off him and tier up? Because if you don't tier up now, you're going to end up losing some value potentially.
Yeah, I don't like to lose too much value, but you can kind of tell. I think 2 years is like the threshold. I think 1 year is a wash. Like, rookies, they don't always get to be used the way they are, especially if they're in situations like JSN was in Seattle, where he's playing behind Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and a run heavy offense, right? But like, if you look at like guys that literally did nothing at all, or like a Sky Moore, and then they sucked in year two as well, and then usually that third year they're gonna suck again, and then it's like, all right, now it's time to move on past this guy. So I usually give it 2 years and then I reassess my, like, is this guy really that good? What can I get for him now? If I took him 201, can I get 210? Or am I going to trade him for like a late third and it's not even worth it at that point? So,
real quick hitter, let's hit the quarterbacks. There's going to be a lot of shuffling. There's new guys coming in. We're going to say 212, smash or pass. Kenny Pickett.
212.
He gone. No more Kenny Pickett. You and I own zero shares, and I'm so happy about it.
He was a guy that I hate. I flamed all last year and it ended up working out.
Desmond Ridder.
212.
Mac Jones.
I like Mac better than all of them, but I just don't know where Mac's going to find. If Mac finds a starting job, him, but I don't know if he's going to. So probably 212.
Sam
Howell.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
212.
Ryan Tannehill.
212.
Aiden O'Connell.
I'd take O'Connell.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm definitely there.
Starts.
Yeah, there's some guys that could potentially move and get some starting spots, you know, and kind of move around. So sometimes you can go ahead and assess, like, Ryan Tannehill could be a stopgap quarterback somewhere. You know, Sam Darnold could be a stopgap quarterback somewhere, just like Gardner Minshew, where they could ascend some value. In the startup draft, you want to take those guys late, but at this point, we're not investing second-round picks. So, guys, this was just a quick one where we had a lot of questions about, you know, about the Jahan Dotsons, the Quentin Johnstons, the guys like that, where what are we doing with them? How do we, you know, how do we look at those second-round picks? Should we reinvest and move on? Great show, Snoog. Appreciate it. As always, thanks for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the process. Sloppy seconds.